You know, I'm often amazed when I think about the fact that some of the biggest and most important decisions that I've made in my life were made when I was only 19 or 20 years old. And you know, at that age, you really have no idea how defining and impactful those decisions will be for your future. It's often at that early age that we make choices about our careers, about our education, and our relationships. Choices that shape our destiny and set us on a course that influences the rest of our life's journey. But at the time you make those decisions, at least for many of us, you may just kind of be going with the flow and unaware of how life-shaping those choices will be. You can be making life-determining decisions without even a second thought. But as we get older and come to some important junctions on the road of life, we often hesitate, and we wonder, well, should I go left or right? Should I go forward or back? How will this decision affect my future? And being older and having learned from life's experiences, we're no longer oblivious to the possible consequences of our choices. Sometimes we even get stuck at those junctions and unable to decide and wishing that we had more wisdom to make the right decisions. Maybe you even feel you're at one of those junctions in your life right now. Well, as we saw last week, the book of James is a book of advice for Christians, though it's often uneasy and challenging advice. And James is written in a way that resembles the Old Testament book of Proverbs, from which we just read. And James isn't written with a continuous and sort of logical development of ideas and themes like the Apostle Paul writes in his letters. Instead, like Proverbs, James writes in more of an Old Testament Jewish poetic tradition rather than the Greek rhetorical tradition that Paul writes in. But both forms of writing are valid. They're just different. Someone said that reading James is like standing with the writer at the edge of a lake, and he takes a rock in his hand and he throws it into the lake. And you see it hit the water, and you watch the rings of ripples form around that place of impact. And this is the way James thinks. He throws out a great thought, and as circles form around that thought, he illustrates it with stories and with word pictures. It's actually very similar to the way Jesus taught, especially in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, last week in James 1, verses 1 to 4, we saw James throw out his first rock. It's a rock that we could call persevering through trials. And we looked at the rings of ripples that formed around that idea and what it means for us to persevere through trials and to do it with joy because they help us to mature. Well, now in the next four verses, verses 5 to 8, James throws out his second rock. And we could call this rock the need for wisdom, which we'll look at today. Now, you know, when you and I come to those junctions in the road of life where we need to make some important choices, James can help us here by telling us about the divine source that we can draw on. It's called wisdom, or Sophia in the Greek, which doesn't mean just intelligence. Sophia refers to having a skill for living or an insight for journeying on the right pathway. It's more than just knowledge or intelligence. Sophia adds the practical element of living out what one believes. But there are times when we come to one of those junctions or junctures in life when we realize that we have a shortage of wisdom. We lack wisdom, and we don't know what to do. Well, this is the kind of situation that James is talking about in chapter 1 and verses 5 to 8. And here's what he says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So just prior to these verses, James had been speaking about the various trials that we encounter in life. And these are the difficulties and the challenges that often come along life's road. And often, these trials bring us to one of those junctions where we feel lost. We don't know which way to go. We're at an impasse, and we begin to feel very keenly our own lack of wisdom. But in these four verses, James tells us what to do. This is wise advice from a godly, spirit-inspired man. And if we were to summarize the theme of what James says here in these few verses, we could put it very simply this way. Life creates a demand for wisdom, which God generously supplies when the conditions are met. So three things here we're going to look at. So what is wisdom? Well, the dictionary defines it as the ability to make the right use of knowledge. And in the Bible, too, in both Old and New Testament, wisdom means the practical use of knowledge to deal with life's issues. It means taking or making right choices that honor God. And true wisdom always begins with God. As Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge is of the Holy One is understanding." So that word fear there doesn't mean terror or to be afraid. It means to have a reverent relationship toward God, a relationship of respect and reverence. And so if a person doesn't know the God who created all things and the God who has revealed all truth and who establishes absolute values, then they don't really have a chance of being truly wise. How can someone consistently make right and wise choices without knowing the God of all truth? The God who created all things, who reveals all truth, who establishes absolute values. In Proverbs 1 verse 7, it gives us a clear perspective on wisdom by looking at its opposite, which is foolishness. It says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so it's a foolish person who rejects God's wisdom, who makes choices that contradict God's truth or ignores God's value system. So now that we have an idea here about what biblical wisdom is about, let's look at James' advice concerning wisdom here. And this will be a three-point message today. And the first point is, life creates a demand for wisdom. Now James says at the beginning of verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom," okay, so this is the situation, if you lack wisdom, maybe you can recall a situation where you've had a shortage of wisdom, where in daily life, you know, there's times that come up when you really don't know what choices to make, and you're kind of stuck. Maybe right now, even something's going on, and you're not even sure how to think about it, or you find yourself in a state of lacking the wisdom that you really need. It could involve a financial issue or decision that you're uncertain about. You know, one day I went to withdraw $100 at the ATM, and the machine spit out a receipt showing the deduction on my account, but no cash emerged. And I thought, uh-oh, how am I going to prove that I received no cash? And I wasn't sure what to do, and so I went into the bank, and they seemed reluctant to believe my story. I was out $100, and I could have made a fuss, but in the midst of it, it occurred to me to ask the Lord, what should I do? And so I asked God for wisdom on this, and God's wisdom to me was, don't pursue the issue, just wait and see. And so I just left it in the Lord's hands, went home. And sure enough, 3 days later, without any explanation, the $100 reappeared in my account. So God's wisdom there spared me a lot of hassle and worry and some unpleasant dealings. Or maybe you're experiencing a need for wisdom concerning a personal relationship or a family problem, a job issue, or dealing with a health issue. And you come to a junction in the road there, and it's not really clear to you which way to go or what to decide. And that's what life does. Life creates a demand for wisdom. But if you don't acknowledge and admit your lack of wisdom, you're never going to get around to asking for it. You need to realize that we don't always have the wisdom that we need. And it's a foolish person who refuses to admit their lack of wisdom. So has life created a demand for wisdom in your heart today? Are you facing something that you can't seem to figure out on your own, or where you just don't know, or you don't know which way to turn or what to do? If so, good. It's a good place to be, because now you're ready for step two. And the second point is, God supplies wisdom to those who ask. James goes on to say here in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So wisdom is one thing that we lack that cannot be made up for just by human effort. It's a divine gift of God, and it must be asked of Him. You don't get true wisdom by just living a long life. You don't get wisdom from having a lot of different experiences and gathering a lot of knowledge. I didn't understand that when I was young. I thought I could go to college or university and become wise, but I just learned a lot of information. And so then I thought it was experience that I needed, and so I dropped out. I went traveling the world and thinking I would return wise and full of wisdom. But it was only a worldly kind of wisdom. I didn't understand that true wisdom is a gift from above. And it has nothing to do with knowing a lot of facts or collecting a lot of experiences. Instead, true wisdom comes down from God, and it has to do with character, not just knowledge. And that's why later in chapter 3 and verse 17, James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Those are character traits, not knowledge. It's all about character. And that's where wisdom comes from and where it starts. It comes from God in heaven, and it starts with our character. So rather than trying to figure everything out for ourselves or getting answers from Dr. Phil or Oprah or whoever the current guru is, we need to go directly to the source, to God and His Word, and in prayer. And ask Him, who is the one who, it says, gives generously. God's not stingy with His gift of wisdom. He knows how much we need it. And He's not surprised either by our weaknesses and our needs, and He hears and understands our prayers for help. He wants us to ask for wisdom. So does that mean then that if we do that, that God will show us the whole plan for our lives, all the whole thing mapped out? Will He give us complete clarity for every decision that we need to make? Well, no. That would remove the need for faith. But He does promise to enable us to discern how He would have us live. Now, I've shared this illustration before, but there was a brilliant scholar named John Kavanagh who once went to Calcutta to see Mother Teresa. And he was experiencing doubts about God and wondering what he should do with his life. And he thought that someone like Mother Teresa might be able to help him. So he asked Mother Teresa to pray for him, and she asked him, well, what do you want me to pray for? And he said, well, I've come all the way to India to ask you to pray that I would have clarity. And she said firmly, I won't do that. And when he asked why, she said, clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go of. And when Kavanagh said to her that she always seemed to have the kind of clarity that he longed for, she laughed. And she said, I've never had clarity. What I have always had is trust. And so I will pray that you trust God. You see, when we crave clarity and insist on seeing everything clearly, we're actually trying to eliminate faith. And faith is what we really need most. We need faith in order to simply trust God when we don't see clearly. And trusting in God is what most pleases the heart of God. That's what He's looking for in our lives. He wants us to have the faith to ask, trusting that he will give us what we need. James also says that God will give it without finding fault. It means without reproach. You know, God won't fault you or make you feel ashamed for asking him for wisdom. You know, sometimes I know we dread asking people for things, you know, because of all the grief we have to go through to get it sometimes. We're afraid they're going to say something like, well, okay, well, I'll give you what you want, but if you weren't such a loser, I wouldn't have to. But God's not like that. When we ask for wisdom, he's willing to give. Jesus assures us in Matthew 7 that our Heavenly Father loves to give us good gifts. He says that a good parent doesn't reproach a child who comes asking for bread by giving him a stone, or if he asks for a fish by giving him a snake. He says in Matthew 7, 11, verse 11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So do you need some wisdom today? Come before God and ask. He won't put you off. He wants you to do that. Ask as often as you need to and keep on asking. As for me, you know, that's pretty well every day. So first of all, we see that life creates a demand for wisdom. And secondly, God supplies wisdom to those who ask. But there is a condition. There's one more thing that we need to see here. We must ask for wisdom in faith, believing. Look at verses 6 to 8. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So the word that James uses here for doubt doesn't mean like intellectual doubt, like doubting God's existence or doubting God's ability to answer prayer. It means to be endlessly divided between being God-centered and being self-centered. It's the doubt of divided loyalties. He's describing a person who vacillates here, who's unable to put their weight down and commit to something. They can't decide from one trial to the next whether to really trust God enough to follow his wisdom. And so they're torn between two things here, like a person standing on two boats with one foot on each. James calls them double-minded. It literally means double-souled. Unstable in all they do, like a wave tossed by the wind. Now, last week I was down at the waterfront during the big windstorm, and these huge waves were coming in and breaking on the shore, but it wasn't like nice orderly rollers coming in. The wind was tossing the waves in every direction, and waves were crashing against each other, and it was chaotic. And that's what James is picturing here, a wave tossed by the wind. He's saying that on-again, off-again Christians should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. They're like a person who refuses to be consoled when they're in the very presence of genuine care, or a person who refuses to become a friend in the face of genuine friendship. In their endless doubt, they're unable to focus on the true character of God. And they just stand at the verge, questioning and questioning and questioning, but never committing. And they end up wasting months, even years of their life with nothing to show for it. This isn't the type of person who really wants God's wisdom. I remember watching an award-winning Spielberg movie called Lincoln about Abraham Lincoln. And there we see Lincoln as a man under huge pressure and trials in his time and needing great wisdom. The movie doesn't give a lot of emphasis to his Christian faith, but I believe he was a man of faith. And I love this quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Maybe you can identify with those words. Times when our own wisdom and that of others around us just doesn't make it. It seems insufficient. Well, Lincoln recognized his need for God's wisdom, and he asked God for it. He went down on his knees, and the rest is history. Now, we may not find ourselves under those kind of trials and pressures, but there are some today who do, many leaders. But there are people today who are needing our prayers. We need to pray for political leaders, for those in the U.S. right now especially, and in our own country, where great wisdom is needed, and people need to get on their knees. And for medical authorities, those in the front line who are making difficult decisions about this COVID crisis. And I also hope that you will pray for pastors like myself and elders and church leaders who really feel caught between these restrictions and the need to minister to people. But life creates a need of wisdom for all of us. Imagine yourself for a moment on a journey through some treacherous terrain, traveling along paths that are confusing and hard to follow, and you come to a fork in the path that you don't know which way to go. You have to decide. And you could use a clear and accurate map to follow, but you don't have that in life. Year before last, Kim and I were in the south of England doing a self-guided walking tour. And we had a kind of a sketchy map and a little guidebook, but it wasn't always that accurate and didn't show things very clearly. And we got off the track a few times. We got lost once, and we really didn't know which way to go. We had to start guessing at it, and I prayed about it too, and we made it. But in life, we don't have a clear-cut map for us to see, but we actually have something that's even better than that. We have a guide to accompany us, one who knows the way. Asking God for wisdom is really asking Jesus to accompany us, to be with us. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. That's how he describes Jesus, as the wisdom of God. So, do you face a problem where you have exhausted your best efforts? Are you looking for answers that seem to evade you? Has your own wisdom and that of those around you fallen short? Well, there's hope. The one who is wisdom himself delights to give wisdom to those who ask with a trusting heart. Have you really got down on your knees and asked God for wisdom? You know, we need it for our marriages, for our raising of children, for carrying out our jobs, for dealing with difficult relationships, for getting through the circumstances we face today and throughout this year. We really need it in these times of uncertainty. So if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask for it in faith from our generous God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the description in Proverbs of wisdom as being such a beautiful and necessary thing. And Lord, it is indeed. And we know that we can go to you and find wisdom in our need. And so we ask that we would learn to do that. And we'd wait on you, wait on your timing, waiting on your promptings and the leading of your Holy Spirit. And you would give us the wisdom we need for each and every day and through these times that we're living in. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.